Hi, welcome to the Business Link podcast. I'm Jason Ball, President and CEO of the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce here in the AOI podcast studio, and I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite a long time, actually. This year, the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce and Industry went through a new executive change. And so I hope everyone has seen my exit interview with Brian Sloan that we recorded here recently. And now we're here to do our welcome interview with Todd Bingham, who is the new president and CEO of the Nebraska Chamber. Todd, welcome to the AOI podcast studio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yeah. Now, Todd, we went through an extensive search process, and I was very pleased to be invited to, as an outside advisor, advise the board of the state chamber on our perspectives on this, along with my colleague in Omaha, Heath Mello. And, you know, we had a really great field of talent really had some difficult choices to make. And ultimately, the search committee landed on bringing you in from Utah. And so just for folks that may not have heard you tell that background story yet, tell us Todd Bingham's story.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in baseball terms, you kind of took a flyer on an outside outside guy. You know, I mean, appropriated College World Series just here and that thing. But born and raised out there in the Rocky Mountains, and I've been in the association world for a little over 30 years now.
Yeah.
31 years, as a matter of fact, and got my start in the commercial construction trade associations. Worked for the Associated General Contractors. Worked in that industry for about 8 or 9 years, and then had an opportunity to follow in my father's footsteps and work for the Utah Farm Bureau Federation. And he worked for that organization for a little over 30 years. I was able to do that after him. Did governmental affairs, federal and state policy work there. And then went to run the Mining Association for a number of years and worked in the extractive industry and focusing on that policy arena. And then the last 13 years I've been with the Utah Manufacturers Association focusing on all kinds of manufacturing and that policy arena. So, maybe you could say I can't keep a job, but bounce from organization to organization. But certainly all of those are business-related trade organizations, and I think in many ways helped me be well-suited to run a state chamber, specifically a state like Nebraska that focuses on a couple of those core industry sectors.
Yeah. Now, Todd, you're still fresh off the boat here. I think you're not yet at 60 days, right?
No.
Yeah. And so you're in the official drinking from the fire hose phase. I'm sure have you been traveling around the state talking with other chambers and other businesses, I would assume?
Yeah, I've done some of that already. Going to be out on the road certainly in the next few weeks, next month, really getting to some of our more rural Chamber of Commerce's. I've been around the state quite a bit, meeting with a lot of key stakeholders, businesses, different organizations, had an opportunity to visit with a bunch of school superintendents yesterday, talked with a lot of our board members. State government, many of our senators or the governor and others, as we continue to talk about the state chamber's role in everything we're doing. So a little bit of drinking through a fire hose, if you will. And as I've told people, I'm not thirsty right now, getting a lot of that, lot of that water, but, I've thoroughly enjoyed it so far.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to talk about Nebraska, but, before we get there, leaving Utah to come do similar work in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Just observationally, what do you feel like you learned or skills you developed in Utah, maybe unique to Utah, that maybe you bring in a different perspective to Nebraska to leverage here? Like, how has that Utah experience how is that Utah experience going to influence you here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, and it's not lost on me that bringing somebody in from out of state might not be the most popular move, but I think it does provide a set of fresh eyes, right? To be able to look at something with a different perspective and say, Okay, that's not wrong. It's just different. Yeah. And how might that be assessed and looked at? Again, growing up and kind of spending a second generation lobbyist, second generation association guy, I was kind of born into that. And so watched that. And I think a couple of things that I hope to bring to the chamber here. Again, I mentioned a fresh set of eyes, a kind of a clean slate to be able to say, ask some questions, ask arguably what might be seen as stupid questions, and maybe play dumb a little bit, which I happen to do very well. So
it's a natural talent of mine,
right? So so ask those questions and then be able to assess what happens there. I'm a people person. I like to think that I'm a fairly good at developing a rapport and a relationship with people fairly quickly. And really in our line of work and talking about economic development and talking about policy and kind of helping the state guide in the direction of growing, a lot of it is about that type of scenario to be able to look, gather people together, bring business and stakeholders, academia, government together, address challenges, and then find the solutions to those things. And I think that's a skill set that I bring is, again, because I am new, I can play that moderator and that facilitator and bring groups together and then look at opportunities to move the needle and to have a rising tide that lifts Nebraska.
Yeah. One more Utah question before we get to Nebraska. I think there's a lot of folks in the business community in Nebraska that, you know, look at Utah, and I think there's a lot of things that Utah, in our perception at least, is doing really well, really right, has had an explosion of investment and growth in industry and manufacturing and other business sectors. You know, what do you think Nebraska has to learn from Utah's track record of growth?
Boy, that's how much time you got? That's a tough one. Let me just boil it down to a couple of things. Let me first start by saying that I think often in my first kind of 45 days here, I would say that I think, and this is normal in most states, oftentimes here in Nebraska, we're talking maybe more about the things that we don't do well rather than talking about the things we do well.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I think we all ought to change, right? My youngest son, maybe the reason I'm here in Nebraska, played college golf here in Nebraska, and he was famous for saying, not famous, but he has said this, it's not bragging if you've done it. And I think it's important that we as chambers of commerce and we as industry and as a state, for that matter, talk about what we do well and what we've done well. Now, on the flip side of that, I think there's a couple things that Utah has done well. It has some advantages, right? Has the largest family size, the lowest median age, and the largest, the highest birth rate. That certainly helps from a workforce standpoint, right? However, they still have a very significant workforce problem. I think the state is very well fiscally managed. And I think that could be very fiscally conservative by nature. And I think that might be the strongest suit that Utah arguably has, is that they are very, very fiscally managed in a well manner. Forbes for years kind of recognized them as the number one diverse state and the best fiscally managed state. I think that's important when we look at things like tax policy, when we look at mechanisms to build projects, to grow economic development, to strategically limit risk to the taxpayer and do those types of things. So I think that's one of the big things. Maybe just lastly, let me finish with a common thing that I think is that I've noticed in those first 45 days is the people.
Okay.
I think a good friend of mine, Governor Spencer Cox, likes to say that the secret sauce in Utah is the people.
Yeah.
I would say that's the secret sauce here in Nebraska. And I've seen that very clearly. And I think that is something we need to continue to capitalize on.
You know, I think Governor Pillen's going to be thrilled to hear that, as he will often say in comments. Well, let's talk Nebraska. Let's actually talk about your transition and onboarding process. You know, we mentioned you're making the tour of the state, trying to build networks, make connections, listen to people, all the things that good leaders do when they land on the ground in a new role like this. You know, what do you want to share with the business community in Lincoln in terms of like what to expect kind of around that next corner? How are you going to begin to, you know, build your mark on the Nebraska State Chamber?
Yeah. Again, as I alluded to, I think we have, as a state, it's somewhat natural for us to talk about what we're not. I love the idea of us continuing to talk about what we are.
Yeah.
And let me just give you a brief example. Where I am living, I can be in rural Nebraska, what I would deem as rural Nebraska, in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty special.
Yeah.
To be able to go 4 minutes, you know, I think I'm 12 to Eagle,
mm-hmm.
maybe,
mm-hmm.
right? I come from a state that is fairly land constrained, owned by the public, by the yeah. federal government and the state government, yeah. about almost 70% of the land, second driest state in the country,
yeah.
And some of those things. So coming out here, I think, you know, having seen it before, but really seeing it since I've lived here, that sense of lifestyle,
yeah.
I think, is something we really need to continue to focus on. And again, tell the story. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean by that is, so many times, you know, the public says, well, Nebraska is just flat and it's corn.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes perception become reality. And if we don't control the narrative on what Nebraska really is, then I think that perception could become reality. I think that's our job as a state chamber, as well as the local chambers like yourselves, is why do you want to locate in Lincoln?
Yeah.
Why would you look at placing a manufacturing facility in Seward, mm-hmm. or in Columbus, or in Kearney, or wherever that might be? So continuing to tell the story of why Nebraska. Why Nebraska?
Yeah.
And that's there's a lot of reasons for that. And obviously, the governor and our Department of Economic Development and many of those areas, that's what they do. But I also think there is tremendous value in the business community talking about why they located here, why they grow here, mm-hmm. why they invest here, and why they continue to grow the number of jobs, tax dollars, et cetera. And so we're going to be very visible.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be visible as an organization, and we need to continue to focus on telling the story of why Nebraska is where business should locate.
Yeah. Now, a great area of longtime collaboration between the Omaha and Lincoln and State Chamber of Commerce has been on many things, but public policy is probably the leading one, and we do a whole lot of work together at the State House. You know, under your leadership, you know, what do you, I know this is going to change and evolve, it's early days yet, but what do you anticipate are going to be the priorities for the Nebraska State Chamber in terms of policy and advocacy for business?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to sound like it's kind of the canned speech, but I think I would be looking at the things that arguably in states similar to Nebraska have helped the economy grow.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, some of those things that are tried and true, mm-hmm. and some of them that maybe we might look at mechanisms that might, you know, create that rising tide. Mm-hmm. One is tax policy.
Yeah.
Continuing to create a tax policy that encourages businesses to not only locate here, but to continue their investment in growing operations here, yeah. in Nebraska. And so I think that's that three-legged stool of income tax, property tax, and sales tax.
Yeah.
How do you broaden the base and lower the rate? How do you look at the mechanisms that do that and create that environment? Secondly is focusing on workforce development.
Yeah.
How do we keep kids in rural Nebraska? How do we help educate them in Lincoln or in Omaha and then have an opportunity for them for a career, mm-hmm. to go back to Kearney or York or Norfolk?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe lastly, I think energy policy needs to continue to be a big focus for,
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
It is a significant investment and expense for many, many businesses in Nebraska. And I think it's an opportunity for us to look at some amazing things that we can do. The very unique nature of energy, mm-hmm. in Nebraska provides us with some opportunities to get outside the box that I would really like us to explore and look at. I'm super excited for the opportunity to work very closely with you guys and with Heath and his team in Omaha as we continue to look at that. Maybe just lastly, Jason, when I was in Utah, it was often, you know, governors and others, and I don't throw them under the bus, but saying, you know, we've been recognized as the number one state for this and for this and for this and for this. Mm-hmm. That's all great. Mm-hmm. Those accolades, everybody wants those accolades.
Yeah.
It's hard to get to number one and be recognized as number one. It's even harder to stay there.
Yeah.
And so how does Nebraska as a state say, what are the areas that we ought to be looking at? Where do we not rank appropriately amongst our neighbors that we compete with around here locally? And how do we set policies and positions that help us rise?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think another ongoing conversation, you know, you mentioned tax policy right off the start, but I think the associated item with that too that my mind goes to is I know we're going to be working on business recruitment efforts together, right? Yeah. We have to make a state that is successful and has the resources for businesses that are already here, want to continue to invest and grow. But I think Nebraska's longer term challenge is we're really going to have to spur the economy through being very intentional about creating an environment that businesses come to. And that's going to take there's going to be a policy component to it. We need leadership from you know, the entire state. It can't just be a few groups in Lincoln or Omaha or Kearney or wherever. You know, we need a unified approach about that, and that's going to take statewide leadership.
And to use maybe a football analogy, we are, you know, very close to Memorial Stadium here, but use a football analogy. As we do that as a team, right? Lincoln, Omaha, Seward, North Platte, Sydney, everybody. Mm-hmm. As that team, there's times when you're going to get the ball and you're going to run with it. Yeah. And it's going to be something that is an economic development project for Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Other times when we're going to throw the ball to Heath and he's going to get that. Yeah. There's times when we might throw it to Seward, mm-hmm. to them. There's times when I might say, Jason, can you block on this one?
Yeah.
I need you to block as a team, as we raise economic development for the state, mm-hmm. as we create new projects in North Platte, that is really good for the entire state. And I think that's where we're excited to really focus on some of those things. So having that tight team network, it's going to be important.
Yeah. Now I want to go back to tax policy just for a second too. And you've been involved in national groups, mm-hmm. very engaged in the National Manufacturers Association and others. And in your travels and your experiences, you know, what states can you point to that have you know, no income tax, no property tax, and no sales tax that we can emulate here in Nebraska?
Let me think about that. I think the short answer to that is that states are all states, I mean, not all states, but the states that are really seeing significant growth in economic development are getting outside the box. They're also realizing that companies get to choose where they locate.
Yes.
And they get to look at the entire structure, from corporate income tax to sales tax to property tax to personal income tax, whatever that is. And you may not ever be able to get, you know, oranges to oranges, mm-hmm. but all of those states that are doing well in that arena are providing opportunities for businesses to say, yes, I want to locate there, and it's because of this. Mm-hmm. And I think Nebraska needs to continue to do that and to revisit a little bit that opportunity for companies to invest in growth. And again, I would say it's probably a two-prong approach. Mm-hmm. It's growth for out-of-state companies that want to look at Nebraska. Yes. It's also growth for companies that have been here in the state for 50, 60 years that want to continue to grow and expand. And so I think that has an opportunity to set apart Nebraska from some states that might be looking at changing their policies on how they attract and continue to organically grow the economy.
Yeah. Boy, we could talk about this for an hour. I'm gonna shift quickly though to federal policy. Okay. Goodness knows you have landed at a time where the federal picture is just very busy from a business perspective, right? You know, as we're talking right now, you know, the Senate's working through the big, beautiful bill. Part of that is the 2017 tax cut package that's important for businesses. And at the same time, we've got historical different approach, I'll call it, to tariff policy and international trade policy that's having some impacts in Nebraska. As you kind of get the lay of the land in Nebraska at the state chamber, you know, do you have an approach that you think you're preparing to take related to federal policymaking?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we could talk about this topic for days as well.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I would say to that is businesses need certainty.
Yeah.
And the lack of certainty or fear, uncertainty, and doubt are three things that really stifle capital investment. Mm-hmm. And it is crippling to the economy. We've seen and are seeing some of that at a federal level in several different areas. My plea would continue to be to Congress that we provide some certainty to businesses. Businesses, going back to the football analogy, are really good at doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You set the goalposts,
mm-hmm.
and they can score. But if you keep moving the goalposts, it is very difficult for business to adapt, and it is very expensive for business to adapt. And capital investment is very fickle.
Yeah.
And so when there is uncertainty and that doubt, the capital dries up, and they push pause. Right now, it feels as though from a federal level, many of our companies have pushed the pause button,
mm-hmm.
and are in a wait and see mode.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't trickle down too far, because I believe if it does, we'll start to see some ramifications on the economy, a slowening, if you will, to coin a phrase.
Yeah.
And I hope that we can get past that. And that involves a myriad of areas.
Yeah.
That's tax policy, that's tariffs, that's immigration, transportation and investment, that's any number of areas. So in a word, certainty.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that. Todd, there is so much the Nebraska State Chamber has been doing and is going to do that's not necessarily policy related. I'm thinking about the Tech Council,
right.
The foundation work and the mm-hmm. research that's being done, the workforce support programs that are going to be built. What do you want in a nutshell? What do you want our members to know about the other non-policy things that might be coming around the corner from the State Chamber?
I would say, we do have a foundation that does a lot of research on a lot of topics, while the foundation does those, the foundation doesn't work on policy.
Yeah.
It works on data.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as an organization strive to be vision-led, data-driven, and Nebraska-grown.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do, is continue to be the truth teller, provide data that helps determine strategic vision and direction from the business community as to how to grow Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that will be continue to be our focus. The foundation is certainly part of that, Tech Nebraska, mm-hmm. and focusing on the renaissance of tech, automation, and AI.
Mm-hmm.
As I indicated in another interview I did, every company today is a tech company.
Yeah.
If they're not, they better figure out how to be a tech company. But most of them are, and they understand that. So we have a lot of opportunities in a variety of areas. It's an exciting time.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time in Nebraska. It's an exciting time for how we look at how do we create this momentum. We may not be on the coast, but don't kid yourselves, there's a wave. And I think Nebraska can ride that wave.
I love that.
Looking forward to it.
I love that. What a great note to end on. Todd Bingham, the Nebraska State Chamber of Commerce and Industry, welcome to Lincoln. Welcome to Nebraska.
Thank you.
We're so excited to be working with you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks again.
All right. This has been Jason Ball at the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce in the AOI podcast studio, along with Todd Bingham. Please look up the State Chamber online, and you can see all of our past episodes at lcoc.com on our newsroom tab. Thank you.